tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing, so Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is anything impossible for the Lord? Okay, you all know the right answer, right? Except none of you are thinking that. Of course, there are things that we decide are too hard for God. I have a long list of things that I share with him and say, this and look at that, and that, and these things are impossible. You're not fixing them. They must be too hard for you. So I want you to think of something that you find impossible or close to impossible in your life. Some pain or shame that has been with you for a very long time. And if you are not able to come up with one for yourself, think of someone near you that you know has one. And write it on your hand right now. Okay, and hold it. What's impossible for the Lord? So, we're all, sadly, bound by time. God, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your point of view, not so much bound by time. So we're going to take a trip back in time for the moment. And listen to Sarai. Is anything impossible for you? You're kidding, right? This is some sort of joke. I've been married for years and years. And this is how I get married. The man says, "Here is how you can show your love and kindness to me. You can pretend you're not my wife." What? Okay, not like I get a choice. Sure. I'm supposed to say just that I'm his sister, which is technically true in some sort of weird hair-splitting way, but I'm supposed to pretend that I'm only his sister and not his wife. Why? Because he's more worried about his security than mine. He wants to be let to live and knows, apparently, I'm so good-looking as to die for. That's ridiculous. But that's what he's afraid of. And so I have to say, sure, take me into your harem to anybody who comes by. Yes, yes, I find things impossible for you. I leave my father's household. We go to Egypt. I get taken into Pharaoh's harem. Oh, and they all get sick. Nice. And Pharaoh yells at Abram and says, "What are you doing this for?" He doesn't get the message. And we get to do it again. But first, you make this bizarre covenant, this promise to Abram. You will give him a land and a people and a son. Look around. Do you see anything? Old, worn out, this old ground. How can any good come from it? And then you said, when Abraham laughed at your idea, you said, you changed the language. You changed the verb tense. You said, "I have given you." You have. You have not. But that's what you said. You have already done. Okay, Okay, so I get Hagar and try this. This is, you know, the norm for the time period. We'll go that route. And she gets pregnant and shames me like it's my fault. You did this. Then you come back with your circumcision. I'm glad that's not me. Thank you. And I laugh. Your three visitors come. And yes, I stand in the tent and laugh because it's too hard. There's nothing to do about it now. I am old. He is old. And then we get to Abimelech. It's just like Egypt. I'm 90 years old. What is he afraid of? Still, I get sent to the harem. And then, as if it weren't insulting enough, you heal all of them. All of Abimelech's wives and slave women, they have children. He pays me off. And they get pregnant. So, yeah, you come here and wonder why I'm laughing? This is too hard for you. But then it wasn't. And then did I laugh. Everyone who follows me will laugh. This is hysterical. I conceive and bear a son. And for the rest of time, people will look at me and they will laugh. They will laugh with me and they will laugh at me. It's absurd. Is anything too hard? And then it's like dropping a rock in a pond, and the ripples just go and go and go. And the laughter just goes and goes and goes. And all that I had been holding in my hand for my life, my married life, anger, disbelief, suddenly healed. I have this baby. Abraham's 100 years old. When Isaac is born, So, what you have in your hand. C.S. Lewis says that he believes in, or imagines, that for those who get to heaven, they'll look backwards and see all of their life through the lens of heaven, and it'll be as if they were in heaven all the time. Not to say that the bad wasn't bad, because it was. But when you look at it from that other perspective, through God's eye, it's going to look different. For the rest of Sarah's life, she had to be laughing at herself that she was sure that the impossible was, in fact, impossible, and God did it. I have some impossibles. I had a long history of conflict with my father. I love my father, but I've never won an argument with him until he was dying and could no longer answer me. That's kind of cheating. But I was sure that this was never going to be better. I had this long conflict, and we argued over dating and medication and my career and his interpretation of my career and, oh my word. But it wasn't until he was dying that I started to figure out how that impossible was going to be possible. I sang to him the night before he died. I sang through the entire Lutheran hymnal. It's not nearly as entertaining as some of our music, but this is what he wanted, so I had it. You know, I was there. And I sang through the hymn book, and the whole time that I'm singing, I'm thinking about how much he and I conflicted my entire life. But not when we were singing. And it wasn't until he died, which I felt a little bit unfair, that I realized how my dad and I were together. We were together when we were singing. And at his funeral, I sang to him. I looked at his picture. I said, we're going to sing this song of yours, and you're going to have to help. And I did. I sang the whole thing. I didn't cry till I sat down, which my husband will tell you was pretty miraculous right there. But I thought, for sure, getting along with my dad was going to be impossible. And somehow that pebble that drops into the water, it's not linear. It doesn't just go down. Those ripples go out, backward and forward. And so now, when I think about my dad, yes, I can of course recall the many and various arguments that I lost, but I don't only think of those. I remember all the singing that we did. When I was 2, he taught me how to sing. And he continued to sing with me until he died. That was impossible. I remember the impossible of David Armstead's kidney problems. Oh, we prayed week after week. Virginia was very faithful. Total healing, God, we prayed for this. And I thought it wasn't fair again. Yes, David is healed, but I don't get to see it. I don't get to enjoy him. He was a good friend of mine, and he is loving where he is, I am quite sure. But I didn't get to participate in that healing. Really? Think about all the times that Virginia and I prayed, and many other people prayed, and when we look backwards, we're going to see God's hand in David's life. Sarah got to see her impossible right there in all kinds of ways. I get to live with my dad's impossible for the rest of my life, not angry with him. I get to recognize David's impossible. But that didn't really shorten my list. I still have plenty of things that I say. You didn't do that! Why not? And just like watching a toddler who has a tantrum, I think all of you have seen one, God says, oh, come here. And for all of my impossibles, he just holds me in his lap. And says, oh, I'm so sorry that you're stuck in time. It's such a drag for humans. But God is not. And on the front of your bulletin this morning is that verse where God said, and the people who study this made a big deal out of it, this is a perfect verb, not a past tense verb, not a present tense verb, not a future tense verb. This is a perfect verb. On that day, the Lord made his covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I have given this land. It's a job already accomplished. It's a done deal for the Lord. And all that we find impossible in our hand that he will do, sadly, on an earthbound timeline, except not for him. One of the ways that I learned to love my dad was when we went to the Grand Canyon. Anyone ever been to the Grand Canyon? Yeah, thank you. Good. Okay, children. And you watch this little video, and they show you the science of the Grand Canyon, and it takes 9 million years to create this. And my husband turns to me and says, yeah, except God could do it in a heartbeat with his little finger. And I could picture that. Can you just see it? Oh, I think right there in the Colorado River, we're going to put the Grand Canyon, and he's done. But on our timeline, it was 9 million years. And my son carefully suggested, let's go in the Grand Canyon. Well, that's great, but if you go down, you have to come up. Anyone ever tried this? Okay, yeah. I'm not as old as Sarah, but I was not that young, and Theo is full of energy. Let's go. I am not kidding you. Both of the children behind me pushing me back up the ramp, okay, to get out of the Grand Canyon. And I kept thinking the whole time, David's song, the one that I always think of about David, all this pain. Don't we have those words someplace? All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? I'm looking at the Grand Canyon. It's a pile of dust. And as it turns out, God does and did and still makes beautiful things out of dust. The first people to observe the Grand Canyon thought it was a waste. Sarah thought she was a waste. So Sarah gets her prize. Her impossible is done for her. Yours is still in your hand. Take it with you to the table today. And hear him. Why did you laugh? Is anything impossible for the Lord?